Are you interested in bringing communities together? Are you interested in bridging cultural and communication gaps? Are you interested in podcasting? We want to help build a better world through better understanding of one another. And we want to amplify your voice in the conversation. So bring your ideas and voice to the Venn Network. We will help you bring your voice to the world.
Two Iraqis came here to this country, were radicalized.
For that terror attack overseas.
Total and complete shutdown of Muslims entering the United States.
Assalamu alaikum, ladies and gentlemen. Assalamu alaikum, boys and girls. Sit back, relax, try to find some cool in the sweltering heat that is melting the East Coast, at least like the Northeast from D.C. up, as we enter another episode of the Raw Islam Podcast with our host, Imam Azhar.
Assalamu alaikum.
I didn't go very long tonight, sorry.
Well, I was like, okay, he's going to continue going and, you know, get some time to build some momentum. But assalamu alaikum, welcome to all our listeners from Japan to the UK, Canada and America, South Africa and Pakistan, and all the other countries that continue to tune in and engage with us on Facebook Live, on other media outlets, and also those who continue to download via iTunes or Google Play or the Venn Network. We welcome you again to another episode of Raw Islam, where we try our best to continue focusing on matters that could help provide solutions and also give us a game plan to move forward. It's okay to be frustrated. It's okay to be emotional. It's okay to vent that frustration time and time again. But ultimately, the only game changer in all of this is when we have a plan forward and we actually articulate that plan and we constructively build on that plan. So we have so much going on in our world. And as we said in many episodes in the past, in our first 10, 20 episodes, and also again in our 30 and 40 episodes, that we're not here to kind of dissect the weekly news and just talk about it, because there's enough sound bites out there already pertaining to news and people's perspectives on things. And these perspectives continue to show a wide crater forming between the two, where people truly believe that certain things are right and others believe it is wrong. And there seems to be no middle ground anytime soon that we're going to find middle ground. So we talked last week a bit about the refugees. We talked a bit about the separation of families. We touched on it and we wanted to expand on it. But we have so many other calling issues. For example, we have the two suicides that were done in Mecca at the Holy Mosque in the last month. Two people committed suicide in the last month alone. A person tried to burn the Kaaba cloth a few days ago. He threw petroleum on it and tried to light it, but unfortunately that his mental state led him to that position where he tried to do such a notorious thing, but fortunately he was stopped before he can complete what he was out to do. We had rallies across the country this week. We had people in the thousands, the tens of thousands in cities, and in a cumulative in the 750 rallies that happened across the country, we had approximately, if I'm not wrong, over a million people that were out there rallying. The question is that right after these rallies, we saw that the condition of humanity continues to deteriorate. I want to call out to the community of Boise, Idaho tonight, that they're in my prayers, as many don't know this, but after the rally in Boise, Idaho, for immigrants and refugees and for children to be reunited with their families that night, a man went on a rampage and he stabbed 9 Muslim refugees. He was caught. He was in court today. One of the children, which is a 3-year-old, died. So now he's being charged with murder. And they were from the Muslim community that I'm so honored to be a part of and visit every few months. So we have so much going on, from people taking matters into their own hands, killing themselves. Suicide is now at 1 million a year. And by 2020, it's going to be 1.549 million suicides committed globally. So we can talk about the refugee crisis. We could talk about reuniting children with families. We could talk about elections. We could talk about Democrat socialist winning in New York. We could talk about a whole array of things. But the point that I want to talk about tonight, because it's an Islamic podcast and we try to bring Islam into the equation, because I feel we should be empowered through the faith, or at least have an understanding of what the faith is about, or get an answer from what the faith tells us, is God teaches us and Allah teaches us in the Quran to rely on Him. And many people, when there are tragedies, they say two things. What are the two things, Carl, that you hear people talk about? Well, they say a lot of things. What are the two things that come to the top of your mind at this moment when you're faced by a tragedy, or you're really down, or you feel like, you know, you want to swear, you want to shout, you want to something? And people say one or two things. What do you think it is?
Well, I think honestly, and sorry for anybody who's listening, I didn't mean to, you know, listening with like earphones, I didn't mean to clear my throat that loudly. But I think honestly, the first thing that comes to mind is, well, I can give you two examples. The first one is the obvious one of God help me, or help me God, or oh God help me. And the other is how could God let this happen? Those are the two that, you know, right out of the gate, that's what comes to mind for me. You know, I always, not really a joke, but I've always said jokingly that, you know, my time in the military, the one thing that I learned is that in a crisis situation, there are no atheists. Even those that don't believe, you'll hear them crying out and going, God help me, or oh dear God, or something like that. And before I pass it back to you, I just want to say salam alaikum to Chris Cruz, who has joined us this evening and said salam alaikum to you. So with that, back to you, sir.
Walaikum salam, brother Chris. Thank you for joining us tonight, and to all the other listeners. So these are two things that you would say to yourself. What people would say to console you is have patience, or rely on God. God is the master planner. He knows everything. And so the question that we want to, you know, stimulate as a discussion for tonight is, how much reliance is reliance on God? Like, how much do we have to rely on Him for it to be true reliance? And let me expand on that, because the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said in a tradition, لَوْ تَتَوَكَّلُونَ عَلَى اللَّهِ حَقَّ تَوَكُّلِهِ لَرَزَقَكُمْ كَمَا يَرْزُقُ الطَّيْرِ. If you were to rely on Allah in the manner that you should rely on Him, He would sustain you like He sustains the birds. They go in the morning empty stomach, but they come back in the evening full. Not only have they consumed their amount for their needs of the day, but they come back with extra food for their children, for the babies. So the question is, we're seeing atrocious things happen in our neck of the woods. We're seeing things happening in our country that we never thought we'd ever see. We're seeing children separated from families. We're actually seeing textbook history being played out in real life. And the question is, on a religious perspective, what is the calling? And the only calling I find is rely on Allah. But then what does that mean? Does that mean I don't demonstrate? Does that mean I don't go and talk about these things? Does that mean I don't write about these things? Does that mean I don't go and engage with other people in regards to these things? Does that mean I just sit in a mosque and pray? This is a very important question, because as we see in our nation, there is a right-wing extremist element. There is a left-wing extremist element. And as I said, there's no middle ground. In the same fashion, in Islam, we're seeing the either or, and there's nothing in between the two. Either you say, I'm going to sit in the mosque and pray, and God will do something because the Prophet told me to rely. While you see others say, no, God said to rely, the Prophet said to rely, but that means I'm going to go out and do things and then rely on God, as they say, tire camel, and then depend on Allah. So the question this comes down to, and we want our listeners to engage with us, what defines tying your camel in order to rely on Allah. Does that tying camel mean get a thread and a needle and just kind of wrap it around the camel's neck and tie it to a twig on the floor? Or does that mean take a chain, a solid steel chain, and tie up its feet, its humps, its neck to a steel door? What does reliance mean? So Chris, I want to ask, Carl, I want to ask you, how do you see it? Because truly, there are extremes in our religion. And those extremes are just the seeds towards greater extreme measures. It's just a matter of time. So how would you comprehend this and find a middle ground when our religion told us, rely on God, but then it also told us, tie your camel and then rely on God?
So I think for me, I'm having flashbacks to my childhood here. Because I know when I was growing up, one of the big things that my mom used to say to me is that God helps them that helps themselves. Uh-huh. And so, yes, granted, everything is khair. And yes, everything is written. And yes, God will provide. But even going back to your bird, okay, that you were talking about a minute ago, uh-huh, the bird actually gets up, goes out of the nest and goes and looks for food, uh-huh, and then finds it. So even though that we're supposed to be reliant on God, and even though the birds are reliant on God, and even though the birds know that they will find food when they go, they actually have to go still. Yeah. The food is not, you know, I've, as a country boy, I've seen a few worms here and there in my day, but I've never seen a worm climb a tree into a bird's nest. So you still, the bird still has to go and do. So that's what we're being told. We're supposed to tie our camel so that it doesn't wander off, uh-huh, but we still have to go and do. If I'm not mistaken, aren't we also instructed to speak out against injustices when we see them or when we find them? We're not supposed to watch an injustice and just go, wow, you know what? I'm going to go to the mosque. That makes me think I need to pray. We're also supposed to speak out on an injustice when we see it.
And that's exactly the point. If we were to find a harmonious merge of the two sides, someone has the flour and they say they have pancakes. Other person has eggs and milk and they say they have pancakes, but both don't have pancakes. You have to bring the flour, the eggs, and the milk, and you have to do the process to make it into pancakes. And so as Muslims, it's so hard to convince those that don't believe in speaking out against injustices that it's your duty to do so in the course of relying on Allah. And it's so hard to convince the people that are out there, they're forefront, they're speaking at these rallies and they're, you know, rallying people. And I'm not downplaying any of the two sides, for them to realize that, you know what, your acceptance from Allah will actually demonstrate great measures of result through your connection to Him, which means before you go into a rally, pray to Allah and ask Allah to help you. Ask Allah to open your heart. Ask Allah for people to see what's right, including yourself. And after you speak or after you participate, go and pray to Allah. Even if it's not going to a mosque or go home, if not even prayer, just put your hands up. If you can't put your hands up, but just talk to Him. Say, Allah, I did my part and now I rely on you to do your part. Now, if we're doing that, both sides, then we then have to believe that the course of action that's taking place, God will bring forth the fruits and the flowers of it. But in the absence of either or, we cannot expect to see the results. Now, the people who say about talking about injustices, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, told us about the three levels of faith. If you see something wrong, and I contest those people who say that we don't engage in American society in rallies, in demonstrations, because there's half naked women, there are people with no hijab on, and there is no azan and no prayer, and that there is no modesty and decency. What did the Prophet, peace be upon him, say when he, what did he mean when he said, "Man ra'a minkum munkaran falyughayyirhu biyadi"? If you see something wrong, change it with your hand. If you can't change it with your hand, change it with your tongue. If you can't change it with your tongue, change it with your mind, knowing that what's happening at this time is blatant wrong. And he said at the end of that tradition, وَذَلِكَ أَضْعَفُ الْإِيمَانِ, that's the lowest of faith. So to those who feel engaging in American society, engaging in global issues and matters that are dominating the agenda right now, it's dire, from the water crisis in Flint to those who still don't have electricity in Puerto Rico. If you feel that you don't need to engage in it to be fully religious, what does this hadith mean to you? And for those who feel that this hadith is a backbone of justification for what they're doing, where is Allah in the equation? Because many hardline extremist Muslims take this same hadith and they put it in perspective of validating their jihad, which means if I see a woman without a hijab on, I'll chop her neck off. If I see an infidel on the streets, I can kill him. Why? Because the Prophet said, use your hand. And that's totally out of context. And that's exactly where we're going. I'm going to give you a quick story here, and I want to take it a bit out. Let's kind of pull out of this for a second. So I was in Dallas, and I gave my first halakha, my first speech during the Ramadan Tarawih. And I told the people, you know, Ramadan's coming to an end, and Quran is like, you know, it's coming to a close. And we felt so amazing with it. I wish we can continue that momentum with Quran. Do you agree, Carl? Like, just having that momentum continuously with the Quran?
Yeah, of course. I mean, that's what we do with Ramadan. That's what it is. I mean, that's what we spent a month talking about, is that recharging, that cell phone rebooting that we need to do, closing the apps and plugging ourselves in to recharge, so that when we're done recharging, we can use our hands and our mouth to speak against injustices that are being served. Ha!
Beautiful. So the Quran, as much as we loved it during Ramadan, how come we can't continue that connection post Ramadan? So I gave an example, a simile. I said, I wish I can resort to the Quran as much as I resort to Waze. I don't know if I talked about this on the show. Did I talk about this? No? Okay, so and some people, like, their eyes lit up. Okay, this sounds interesting. And some people are like, who the heck are you to even say that? Now let me get through. I said, the example I gave is because whenever I go out in the past, I wouldn't use a navigation device because I knew where to go. But when I got stuck in traffic or I got pulled over from the cops because of speeding, I realized that this is actually instrumental and helpful for me. It is beneficial. So I started using it. And even when I use it, sometimes it tell me take an exit. When I'm like, why do I need to take the exit? I know it's a straight shot. And I would defy what Waze told me, only to be stuck in traffic because it was looking out for me. But despite the fact that it was looking out for me and I defied it, it didn't reprimand me. It didn't scream at me. She didn't start raising her voice on me. She just kept on saying, take the exit. Take the exit. Okay, you didn't take the exit. You're stuck in traffic, right? So my trust with it, my trust in it built. And this is our thing. Trust will build. And as that trust built, even if I have to go like 10 miles down, I'm going to put Waze on because I know if there's something happening, I can take an alternative route and get there faster. That being said, many understood it. Two people came up to me. One person came up, they said, welcome to the community, but I just have to tell you something. Allah is not Waze. I said, brother, I was just giving an example to kind of put things in perspective. So he said it, he walked off. The next day, a person came to me and said, how dare you talk about Waze? Waze is an Israeli company. And it's like, oh my God, these are the extremist elements that are causing our downfall when we don't have the ability to think outside of the box that we formed for ourselves. If this is the box that you want to put yourself in, and this is the microphone you're listening to right now, if you want to put yourself and confine yourself into this box, that's totally fine. If you want to go into cereal box, that's totally fine. If you want to go into one of the moving boxes, that's fine. But if you want to see the world for what it is and apply Islam to the whole thing for your life, it can happen also. So I feel, Carl, and going back to the issues, is that until every Muslim, and again, I can't talk about a Christian, I can't talk about the Bible, because we believe in the Bible. Carl, do you believe in the Bible?
Respect all of those of the books.
Respect all those in the books. And as a Muslim, we believe in the Bible, the Torah, as God sent it down to the messengers. Now, I'm going to turn to Leviticus chapter 12, verse number 33, in which God says what? I want you guys to check it out. Read Leviticus. Find out what God says in chapter 12, number 33, about how to treat those who are foreign to your land and treat them like you treat your own. And I am God. And this is being said by me, and I am God. These are two verses, 33 and 34. Read it and understand. So God is telling the Christians in the Bible that you have to treat people accordingly, with respect, with in a humane fashion. So if every Christian fails to
wait, time out real quick. Did you say, what chapter did you say?
Leviticus 12:33, I believe. Let me confirm that right
I
now.
Say, because so I know what topic I'm looking at, and I'm pretty sure that's not it.
1933, sorry, 19, chapter 19, verse 33. And you can read it to us, please.
Oh, wait, what? I have to read?
Chapter 19, verse 33.
There we go. I see it now.
Could you read it for us?
Just for all of those that were very concerned, confused, I was, the 1233 was purification after childbirth. That's why I was like, wait, what? This doesn't seem like what you wanted us to read. All right, Leviticus chapter 19, verses 33 and 34, according to the NIV, New International Version. It says, when a foreigner resides among you in your land, do not mistreat them. The foreigner residing among you must be treated as your native born. Love them as yourself, as for you were a foreigner in Egypt, and I am the Lord your God.
Straightforward. There's nothing more to say on that. But I feel that if all Christians don't stand for that, then trust in God is useless. The Quran says, "Inna Allah ya'murukum an tu'addu al-amanat ila ahliha wa idha hakamtum bayna an-nas an tahkumu bil-'adl." That you fulfill the trust that's given to you towards the people. And when you judge between people, you judge with justice and you treat people accordingly, basically. So the thing is that until every Muslim doesn't stand for what they're supposed to stand for, trust in God is flawed. Trust in God for those who sit only in the mosques and believe that they shouldn't engage in society is flawed. As trust in those who feel like going out and not connecting to God, that also is flawed. So the point is that God has a plan. You and I don't understand his plan, but the plan brings forth the opportunity for us to engage or disengage. If we acknowledge what's happening in society is wrong, but we don't engage with God and society to make it better, we failed. And tomorrow, it's a matter of just a few years. I'm not talking about 100 years. I'm talking about just a few years. Wrong will be right. Treating people inhumane will be right. Selling them will be right. Taking children and putting them in adoption for in homes that they're not supposed to be in will become right. Selling people will become right. We're living in a world where children are being abducted, where their body parts are being sold, where kidneys and livers are being sold in the black market. This is all wrong. You know, but the problem is that we only see wrong at its surface because it touches a new level in our body, like, whoa, this wrong. But then we become numb to it. And then the next wrong happens. We go, hey, that's wrong also. But we forgot about all the wrongs that led up to this. So calling on the Muslim community tonight, you have to realize how important of a role you play in your faith when it comes to reliance on God, where things may not be how you want them to be, that you have to play an active role in trying to make them what they're supposed to be. If there's injustice, you have to work towards justice. You have to pray and work. If there is inhumane treatment, you have to work and pray for it. You cannot do either or. And that has plagued our spiritual mental state as Muslims and has demonized us amongst our own. So we could talk about people committing suicide. Remember, it's not the solution. But those who are on the brink of suicide, discarding them, abandoning them, disowning them, ignoring them, isn't a solution also. Children coming across the border, fine, it's wrong. With their families, it's illegal immigration, it's illegal entry into the country. Granted, we understand that. No one is objecting to that. But getting them back with their families and sending them back home is better than sending them around the entire country. We have a lot of problems, brothers and sisters. And as Muslims, we believe that Allah gave us the tools and resources to be a solution for that. Failure is on us if we don't use the solution that's been given to us to help humanity. So in no way can we say that this isn't my problem and God will take care of it. These two statements are flawed. I'm going to end by talking about the hadith and its interpretation at this moment. Whoever sees something wrong, change it with their hand. What does that mean? Write, call, cast your ballots, knock doors, show brochures, engage people, distribute food, do something with your hands productive. It doesn't mean go kill people. Your mouth, speak up for what you believe in, because there's a big difference, Carl, between reading and thinking. You know how many people just look at a box like, yeah, it looks interesting, but you're not reading it. You're just kind of thinking, you're looking at it. Reading means your mouth is moving. That's why sometimes the people can read with their eyes and their mind faster, but you tell them to read out loud, they start tripping over their own words. Why? Because they haven't exercised that skill as much as they did with their eyes. So start speaking. You know, all of us have to speak. It's not a choice. It's not an option. It's not your opinion. You have to, right? And the third thing is, at all times, your heart has to understand what's right and what's wrong. Because the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, وَذَلِكَ أَضْعَفُ الْإِيمَانِ. If you stop even feeling it, if you can't feel that this is something that's happening wrong, you have hit rock bottom on faith, and there's nothing below that. Carl?
Yeah, I wasn't sure if that was coming back to me or if you had more to go there. That's cool. Yeah. So let's read a Facebook comment from our ever-present and ever-faithful fan, Sister Leila Rodriguez. Assalamu alaikum. Thank you for joining us tonight. And she says, Assalamu alaikum. Reliance on Allah for me means that no matter the situation, you are in your trust that Allah will help you. And as individuals, we need to do our part. For example, I can't ask Allah to guide me to find a job when I sit at home on the couch. I have to physically do my part and leave the rest to Allah. Reliance on Allah also means accepting whatever the outcome is and being grateful, even, and I'm adding this, but even if it's not what you asked for, and even if it's not what you were hoping for, you're grateful for what you're given. Because again, it goes back to the concept of khair. What you may not see as a blessing may actually be a blessing. So just sit back and enjoy the ride.
And enjoy the ride once you know that you put the pancake mix, the eggs and the milk together. However the pancakes come out, you made your effort. And you should be happy. And many times people are happy. It doesn't matter if it's burned. They put their effort in it and they're happy that I did it. I tried. In the same fashion, until we don't put our effort, we can't judge, we can't complain, we can't criticize, and we can't condemn others when we are wrong ourselves. So this might sound like a broken record, because for the last many weeks, we keep on coming back to the same problems that we're seeing in our society on a weekly basis. But we pray to Allah for those children that have been stripped from their parents, that they are reunited quickly and they go back home. We pray to Allah for those who are in power, that Allah allows them to understand the severity of their decisions and allow them to make the right decisions for every single human being. We ask Allah for those 9 refugees who were stabbed in Boise, Idaho. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them health. And for the child that died, may Allah give patience to the family. The child's in paradise. As a little baby, the child is gone back to Allah, but the parents are going to feel a lot of grief and pain. We pray to Allah for those who committed suicide at His house, that He strengthens our reliance on Him and allows us the ability to do what we need to do and then see His art take place as He decides what's good for us. We pray to Allah for the entire Muslim community, that they lead by example. We pray to Allah for all of humanity, that they continue to do and also lead as an example for themselves, their neighbors, and for the next generation that is so confused in our world. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen.
Ameen. And I'm going to take this opportunity just because I can, because, you know, fixing it with your hands is not always an option, because some things, you know, you just may not be built that way. But fixing it with your mouth is what I actually do, which is why I have this beautiful microphone right here, which is why I do this multiple platforms, multiple shows. So I'm actually going to just soapbox on 2 quick points and then I will wrap up. But the first point is, yeah, we don't do pancakes on this show. We're a waffle show. So just please go back and rewatch this. And as you share it, just remind your friends that Imam Musar was actually sampling waffles, not pancakes. So there's that. And if you are one of those people, because I know they exist out there, if you're one of those people that are living in the United States and you are a citizen and you have earned and you've taken your exams and you've gotten your things and you've paid all your fines and dues and everything else, and you're a citizen and you have the right to vote, and you say, voting is haram, I'm Pakistani, I'm Egyptian, I don't vote, haram, voting is haram, you're the problem. You're why we're here in this situation. You need to get out there. You need to vote. You need to register. You need to make it happen, because it is using that with your hand to vote that we change this situation and we get to move forward. There may be something somewhere where somebody interprets it as voting as haram, and that's fine, whatever. But we're here. This is happening. Vote. Fix it. Change it. There's that. Now, I will go on my little rant, ladies and gentlemen. So, starting off with the big news of the evening, it is time for the 2018 Podcast Awards, and we are running for a nomination. If you would be as so kind, I will put the link down below when we're done. There is an instructional video on how to go vote, but we can't get nominated without you, our fans, going to nominate for us. Watch the video, click the link, go to podcastawards.com. I got people in the background, so I caught my attention. Sorry. Go to podcastawards.com. Under People's Choice, select Raw Islam with Imam Azhar. Under Spirituality, go and select Raw Islam with Imam Azhar. And my house is currently falling apart and I have no idea what is going on. It's very distracting. So go vote, get us nominated, show the podcast community that even though we are a Muslim conversation and even though we talk about Islam in modern day culture and society, that we're important and you love us. That's how you show, by going and voting. I'll put the link down below, so go vote. Now, also, I found out something this week which made me a little sad, but I've started fixing it as best I can. Apparently, if we don't sell shirts, and I've added sweatshirts now, if we don't sell shirts, they actually get removed from the market after 180 days, but they updated it. It was 90 days. So some of our clothing items for Venn Network have been removed, but I can go add them back. That's fine. But with that being said, the Venn Network t-shirts, the Venn Network long sleeve t-shirts, and now the Venn Network hoodies. And for those millennials out there, Venn Network pop sockets coming soon. We have to sell those so we can keep the product active so that other people can purchase them so that they can help support the network, so they can help support the shows. And if you go over to patreon.com and look for Venn Network, you will also see that if you pledge over at Patreon, you can get one of those t-shirts, sweatshirts, and coming soon, pop sockets. So with all of that, go to vennetwork.org to learn more about who we are and what we do, and find the other great shows that we have over there. And until next week, we will say, Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
To that terror attack overseas.
The total and complete shutdown of Muslims entering the United States.
First of all, we should develop detention centers for them.
Everywhere there is Islam, you'll find women oppressed.
This has been a production of the Venn Network.